welcome to Creature Wars, the show where zoologists get fighty. I'd like to introduce our guests, and they can introduce their animals. So, Max, or is it Dr. Max?
Not yet, no. I'm championing the mimic octopus today.
And Jack, or is it Dr. Jack?
Also not yet. And I'll be championing the dog, the domestic dog, but not just any dog. It is a cross between an Akita, a Husky, and a Corgi. It basically looks like a black bear. It's incredible.
Is that your pet?
No, it's just my dream pet.
Your dream pet. Okay, and Anirudh, I'm not even going to ask about the doctor thing.
I'm a captain.
Okay, Captain Anirudh. What animal would you be championing today?
The humble sloth.
Ooh, okay, so we've got Anirudh with the sloth, Max with the mimic octopus, and Jack with some kind of bear dog.
Super dog.
Super dog.
Yeah.
Okay, let's start with our first scenario. Scenario. Nuclear winter. Those pesky humans have been at it again with their warring, and this time it got nuclear. How will you survive the resulting months of cold and dark, not to mention the increased background radiation? Max.
Well, so an octopus lives in the sea, right? So you're pretty much going to avoid any radiation because water is good at blocking out most forms of radiation. So you're safe there.
What part of the sea does the mimic octopus live in? Is it?
Indonesia, coral reefs mostly.
But what level? Is it in?
It varies. I mean, they're capable of living a range of depths from very shallow to, down to sort of 50 meters.
Okay.
And that's deep enough to escape.
So they can hide.
Escape the lethal radiation.
They're gonna hide in what they call on Octonauts the midnight zone. Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you don't need to go quite that deep.
Okay. Jack?
Oh, I'm not sure how. I didn't know that water was really good at blocking out radiation. That's all.
Yeah.
But why?
Because it's much denser than air.
But does it not does it not spread around loads in the water? Because water's really watery.
If your source of radiation leaks into the water, and you get radioactive water.
Yeah.
Yes, but they actually where they dispose of nuclear waste now is in ponds. They seal it in a glass container.
Yeah.
And then, sink it in a pond, and it's the water that blocks most of the radiation.
Okay.
What if the glass breaks from, say, an octopus tentacle that wasn't supposed to be there?
I mean, octopus are pretty clever and pretty good at getting into stuff, but they can't punch through glass.
The only thing from, keeping invertebrates in fish tanks is that I know that they, far more so than fish, are really sensitive to water contamination. So if you had only, a little bit, because even just high nitrate or ammonia levels can completely wipe out an invertebrate, I reckon that if you had a little bit of radiation, either you're going to generate a super octopus or your mimic octopus is screwed.
I mean you might be right, but they're probably less vulnerable than a dog.
Okay, so can you tell me how they're going to survive with the cold and the dark? Will they be all right?
Well, it's pretty cold and dark once you go quite deep already.
All right.
It depends what else happens, really. Where the bombs get dropped.
Okay, cool. Fair enough. All right, the bear dog. How is it going to survive a nuclear winter?
The bear dog, the nice spread of dog genetics that I've got in my specific breed, being husky, it can survive in the cold, no problem. It's got corgi, so it's got a very high opinion of itself. And it's also got Akita, which are a particularly aloof Japanese species of dog. So I'm thinking that it's an independent woman. Two, it's got an incredibly high opinion of itself. And three, it can absolutely boss the cold weather. So personally, I think that this guy is just going to romp about in Siberia and have a sweet time.
Okay, great. And it's a meat eater too. And perhaps it can persuade a human to take it into the bunker.
Exactly.
Just thinking, all you seem to think it requires to survive nuclear winter is a strong emotional resilience.
Exactly.
I think there might be other dangers out there.
Exactly. I feel as though it's going to have the the emotional resilience, as you say, to just like pick itself up and really get out of the way of the radiation.
Okay, thank you, Neely Dr. Jack. Captain Anirudh, how's the sloth going to survive a nuclear winter?
You're screwed, mate.
The humble sloth sits in the tree, slowly wasting away. Its final moments as its skin peels off its skin. The sloth does not do well in the nuclear winter. All the algae that live in its fur,
okay,
too, they also die with the sloth. It was fun. It was fun. It lived a good life, but it couldn't hack it.
Okay, I'm taking that as an admission of defeat.
Any questions?
Okay, all right, and that is the end of scenario one. Okay, and let's get on with the second scenario. The second scenario is dance off.
I've got this in the bag.
Okay, Neely Dr. Jack, you could start.
All three species of dog, well, breeds of dog rather, that go into my bear dog are incredibly intelligent. They're incredibly dexterous. They can hop, they can jump, they can spin. I think it's actually absolutely gonna nail all the dance moves that are gonna be necessary. If it needs a dance partner, that's fine. It can dance with a human. If not, it can dance with another dog. I think I've got this in the bag.
All right, good argument. Neely Dr. Max.
Well, dancing with four legs, if you're a dog, is all well and good. But imagine how much better your dancing will be if you've got eight limbs. I mean, that's immediately twice as good, right off the bat. It's hard to argue with. But in addition to that, the mimic octopus can pretend to be different animals. It can pretend to be a sole, it can pretend to be a lionfish, it'll pretend to be a sea snake. I mean, if you could bust out those moves on a dance floor,
It can both dance like Michael Jackson and change colour like Michael Jackson.
Exactly so.
Anirudh? Captain Anirudh.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I just have a quick question about the scenario before I give my argument. The dance off, will it be judged by any sort of metrics?
It will be judged by me and my rational mind.
Your rational mind?
No, not my rational mind. Irrational, my irrational mind. Irrational. I'm just going to choose the one that I think
that actually works for me.
Either funniest or best or has the most emotional impact with its interpretive dance.
See, that's what the sloth is all about. Sloth is all about emotional impact. Now, here's the deal, right? You got a dog over here, okay? And he's all crazy. He's jumping about, you know, a bit too erratic for my liking. Mimic octopus, beautiful, beautiful creature, but very creepy. Very creepy looking. Greasy, wouldn't want to dance with that. You got a greasy octopus on your hands, sir. The sloth, however, he's really into slow dancing, all right? Real slow, real, real slow. Slower than you ever thought possible. That's what the sloth's about.
So he's a sexy dancer.
Dude, extremely.
As soon as Robbie Williams' Angels comes on, you've got it all wrapped up. Dude. But the thing is, I mean, who let the dogs out? Example one, I've got that wrapped up because I can actually bark for the who let the dogs out.
That's
woof, woof, woof. There you go.
That's great. That's great. Yeah. And that's your 3 seconds of fame.
Yeah.
Equally, I mean, not to poke holes in your argument, but woofing is it's not dancing. That's just barking.
Well, it's an aside, and I feel as though it will increase the power of my performance.
Okay, right. Okay, so I'm going to choose a winner. So we've got the kind of X Factor appeal of the dancing bear dog.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that a bit, but I'm not an X Factor kind of person, really. I don't really enjoy X Factor.
Philistine.
We've got the sexy slow dancing sloth. I mean, that is really appealing. I can't lie. That's an appealing thing, and it's a shame that this is not televised because Annie Rood is doing an amazing dance at the moment, just to illustrate. Thank you. And then we've got the mimic octopus, like brilliant interpretive dance. I could imagine the octopus doing some great dances to Pulp.
Derivative by nature, though.
Wow, you're a bear dog. Come on. Okay, so I'm going to choose the sexy sloth.
Thank you.
That's the winner.
My people congratulate my people.
The problem is, when your people congratulate your people, it just seems sarcastic because they clap so slow.
Okay, thanks very much, everybody. Octopus has just stropped out and left the building. I didn't realise he was so attached to his dance moves, and nearly Dr. Max has had to run after him. So I'd like to introduce a new contestant who's just stepped in, or maybe slithered in. Emma, can you tell us about your contestant?
Hi there, I'm no way near a Dr. Emma. I am representing the Nudibranch slug today, which is a form of colourful sea slug which eats jellyfish. So that's going to be really fun.
Very cool. All right, I think it's time for our third scenario. Okay, scenario. A rhino is close by. It does not look friendly. You can run away, hide, or fight. What will you do? Can you survive against the rhino? Okay, nearly Dr. Jack.
Yes. Is befriending the rhino an option?
Well, you could try.
I can try.
It says on this card that it does not look friendly.
Okay. I'm unaware of a rhino that does look friendly, but regardless of that, so I've got husky in me. I've got corgi in me, genetically speaking.
And thanks for clarifying that.
You're welcome. And I've got Akita in me. So I've got... The Akita is an inherently territorial dog. So am I assuming that because I'm seeing a rhino, I'm on the savannah?
Yeah.
So I'm sweaty, I'm tired. I probably don't want to fight. However...
You could be in a zoo.
If I'm in a zoo in, you know, Bracknell. Not that there is a zoo in Bracknell. If I'm in a park, I think that I would initially try and befriend the dog, you know, stretch my paws out on the floor, stick my bum in the air, wave it around...
Is that how you attract and befriend rhinos?
That's how I befriend rhinos.
Surely it would really make him more angry.
You present to the rhino?
I might do. I'll see how it goes. I mean, try all sorts. But no, I'm thinking that I'm just going to run off. I don't think it's going to go well.
Okay. Do you know how fast you can run?
How fast can dogs come run? I know that because I've got husky in me, I can probably run for ages, but I've got corgi in me, so I've got really short legs. So that's, that's something that I can personally... empathise with.
Would you say they are in fact the square root of your parental dog's legs?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, something like that. So I'd run away incredibly slowly, but I'd be able to do it for ages.
Okay, so the rhino can run about 40 miles an hour, but it can't sustain that for too long. That's what Wikipedia says.
That's impressive.
That's some total of my science knowledge. Okay. Hi, my name's Catherine. I know all about science. Okay, so you're going to run away. Fair dues. I'll judge you against the others later. Captain Annie Rood.
Cowards run.
Sloths walk, do they?
No. They hide. They camouflage themselves among the trees. To become one with nature, that is the only way to escape the wrath of the rhino. It's the only way. And with their teeny tiny friends, their algae friends, that live on their fur... communicating. Hey, sloth, look over there. There's a rhino. You better hide. Okay, thanks, algae. I'll just pretend to be a tree or whatever, right?
Fair enough. What happens if the rhino, like, charges at the tree that the sloth is in, tries to knock it down?
Tries to knock it down? Well, wow, that rhino picked the right tree. That's extremely rare. That's extremely rare that a rhino picked the right tree.
Just get yourself in a big tree, mate.
Yeah, quits in. Big tree, that's cool. That's chill. Or the most unsuspecting tree.
Sure.
Yeah. Unsuspecting because it wasn't expecting the sloth, or it wasn't expecting the rhino, or it doesn't look like it's a tree that contains a sloth.
All three, perhaps. Okay. The tiniest tree in the forest.
And
the tiniest tree. Almost just a stalk.
And the algae are going to help you by whispering nonsense into your ear about them.
Communicating in a sort of symbiotic relationship. They can wait there for, the sloths can wait there for years. Years on the same tree as the rhino tries and tries to figure out which tree the sloth is on.
Are you arguing that sloths are patient or that algae is incredibly patient?
Both.
Really?
That's why they're such good friends.
Algae is notoriously patient.
So I mean, to be fair, your algae is going to help you camouflage into the tree, which is probably a good thing. Like,
absolutely.
Especially if it's that sloth that is green because of its algae, then, you know, you're all good.
That's the kind of cooperative nature that you need to be an imperial student, I think, Emma. You're going to go far. All right.
Never get my doctorate. That'd be great.
So, Emma.
Hi.
The Nudibranch slug.
Okay, well, unlike these cowards, we're not going to run away. We're not going to hide. We are going to fight. However, I have to address one physiological condition here. I'm in the sea and the rhino is on land, so one of us is either dead or has learned to breathe in the other one's environment. So let's say that the rhino has now learned to breathe underwater, and I'm now faced underwater with a rhino. Well, as I mentioned earlier, my slugs are so cool because they eat jellyfish. So, you know, like the box jellyfish and all those really venomous creatures that can take out like elephants and humans. Mm-hmm. And what it does is it eats them and it dissolves all the other food, but it keeps like the cells from the jellyfish that are the little harpoons that it uses to sting and poison things and incorporate it into its body. I'm serious. So it incorporates these harpoon little poisonous cells into its body. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to attack this like flipping amazing rhino with these harpoon cells and sting it and poison it until it either dies or runs away.
But
so really,
I was under the impression that they're only poisonous if they're eaten.
But the cells are poisonous if they're eaten.
Yeah, so the rhino's going to have to ingest you in order for you... It's a bit like Harry Potter, like, right, you both have to die so that you can triumph.
So the cells of the jellyfish, right?
Yeah.
So you have jellyfish, you've got jellyfish swimming along. Jellyfish have... The cells have poison in them. So
Yeah,
so I have those cells on my skin now, so they then poison the
but
rhino.
But rhinos are notoriously thick-skinned.
Yeah.
Well, I'll find a really soft spot, like under its tail or its eye or wherever. I'm going to bring down this rhino with my poisonous harpoons.
I cannot criticise your vim.
I mean, to be fair, one of us is likely to be dead anyway, because I can't breathe above water and it can't breathe in the water, so really... Really, but I think, you know, I'd fight because the Nudibranch is a particularly persistent, cool slug. Unlike the dog Akita, bear dog, and the sloth, which have taken cowardly roots out of this problem.
Sensible.
I just want to say that your methods are very noble, and I respect them, and I respect your sacrifice that you've made.
I absolutely don't.
I think
they're disgraceful and underhanded.
We'll miss you in the future.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty sure I'd take down a rhino, so it's fine.
Okay, so I think the fact that you're going to be ingested by the rhino is...
I'm not going to be ingested by the rhino!
Either trodden on or
ingested. No, I'm not going to be ingested!
Or,
it swims up next to it and then stings it.
Oh, so the rhino's got a snorkel on. And
okay,
he's going to swim
out
against the rhino.
This would have to be the scenario which either the rhino could breathe underwater or I could breathe on land. Otherwise, we've got a real problem.
Okay.
Okay, I'm choosing to believe that you're going to be ingested by the rhino. And I say that is suboptimal. So, you're not winning.
No.
Sorry. The sloth, yeah, good camouflage. It's unlikely that the rhino is even going to want to eat you anyway, because I think you probably taste disgusting.
I've got a really good joke about the sloth.
Is it actually funny?
No, it's awful. Is algae a relation of Al Gore?
Don't you dare.
Don't
speak ill of Al.
That is amazing tumbleweed.
What an inconvenient joke.
Guys. Nice.
I think Catherine was going to exclaim the winner.
Right, okay. Anyway, so I'm going to explain the winner. I shouldn't have said that the sloth won the slow dancing, because I think the sloth has to win this one, which makes the sloth not only the winner of this challenge, but also the outright winner. Even though it's just a dreadful animal, so well done. Well done, Captain Annie Reed. You're the winner.
My work here is done. It was fun. Thank you to everybody. I want to thank my parents, Mr. and Mrs. Sloth.
I'm going to come sting you, just to let you know, with my jellyfish cells. We've got a rivalry going on now.
Well, my dog's just going to just drop some turds on your doorstep.
Cool, I'll eat them.
So deal with that.
Sounds good, I'm hungry.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's go.
Okay, thank you. And would everybody like to say goodbye?
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye. We'll be right back.